Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Japan Top 10. This is episode 375, Japan Top 10 Indie Artist Interview, number 7, with Maidenfield and Grizzly on the Planet. I'm your host, Edward.
And I'm Dean.
Let's get into it. Japan Top 10. So, Dean, what did you think about interviewing Grizzly on the Planet? How did it go?
It was great. I really enjoyed talking. There was only one member. It's a two-piece band. There was only one member of the band. And he was fascinating. We ended up talking for about 2 hours.
Wow.
We talked about music, and we talked about his music. But we also talked about Buddhism and one of our favourite manga that we share, and a certain world-famous singer from my hometown who I kind of used to know before she was famous.
Ooh, that's exciting. I wonder who. I guess you'll have to listen to the episode and find out who it is.
Yes, you will. Yes, but it was a really good interview.
Oh, fantastic. I love it. Don't you love it when the interview is just free-flowing? You can just talk about everything. It feels like you're almost like long-lost friends in a way,
even though...
You're just meeting. I love that. It's the best. I mean, it's like one of my favorite parts about this job, honestly, is doing the interviews. It's so much fun. Speaking of, actually.
Yeah, how was yours?
It was good. What a great segue. Maidenfield is super cool. He is British and Spanish, so actually he's got the same kind of accent you do.
Okay.
And it was great. We talked about a bunch of stuff. Talked about music, about how he got his start. And he's got his fingers in a lot of different pies. We're going to get into it in the introduction, but he does producing and writing and film scores and all this stuff. And he knows quite a few people, and he's really made a name for himself in the industry, which is fantastic. Wow. And it's so hard because even though he's not a foreigner now, I mean, looks wise, of course he is. He's not Japanese.
Yep.
So trying to break into that market, it's definitely a difficult thing, but he's done it. And he's like making a living, and he's following his dream and his passion, and kudos to him. And I mean, honestly, it's been said to me many a time in my career, and I think it rings true for everyone. So everyone listen up. It's Edward's Advice Corner. Top 10. But it is true. The adage, if you do what you love, no day will ever feel like work. I think I didn't say that right, but you know what I mean?
It's
if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life.
Saved it.
So, and that's true. I think it's true for him, and I think it's true for me. And you know, I don't want to speak for you, Dean, but
no, it's true for me. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I think being artists definitely is the big help if you love what you do. I don't think people go into music because they're like, I want to get famous. They get into music or the entertainment industry because they love it. You know,
you got to love it. You know, because it has its ups and downs. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Before we continue, we just have a few announcements. Want to advertise on our podcast? Market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts. Reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget. Find the full details at jtop10.jp to find out an advertising plan that will suit your company's needs.
Next month is Listener Appreciation Month. If you have any song requests, let us know at jtop10.jp. Get Patreon Premium Platinum episodes for the month of June.
Are you an indie band or artist that makes Japanese music and looking to be featured on our podcast? Reach out to our music director, Haley, by sending her an email at haley@jtop10.jp. That's haley@jtop10.jp. We may feature you on a future episode. See our website at jtop10.jp for more information. And you may even get a chance to talk to me or Edward. What a treat.
Absolutely. A pure delight. We would love to hear from you. So please do reach out to us. We love talking to new artists and up-and-comers. So reach out, send your stuff in, and maybe you'll get featured. And Want to hear this episode, announcement, and ad-free? Consider joining our Patreon Donors Club starting at just $1 a month. Visit jtop10.jp/club for the details on all the great benefits of being part of our Patreon Club. And now we're going to get into the interview portion. I'm singing a lot today. Let's get into it. So I interviewed Maidenfield. His real name is JJ Barado. He is a producer, songwriter, remixer, musician, actor, and MC based in Tokyo. Multi-hyphenate, fantastic. He's British and Spanish and has lived in Japan since graduating university. His music is future bass, house, trance, and Japanese atmospherics, and is influenced by Japanese architecture, anime, and lifestyle. He did his first film score composition, Startup Girls, in 2019, and he has another one coming up soon, which we'll get into in the interview. And he's worked with Tetsuya Komuro, TM Revolution, The Gazette, The Brilliant Green, Tommy Heavenly, and Western artists like Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran, and Carly Rae Jepsen. And we get into that stuff too. We have a great Taylor Swift story. Wow. So and actually a Tetsuya Komuro story as well. He's also acted in My Darling is a Foreigner, Mitsubachi to Enrai, Nippon Dokuritsu, and The Prisoner. He's also a regular MC for the NHK series J-Trip Plan, Journeys in Japan, Out and About, Train Crews, and a commentator for the Japan national football team. He's also commentated for the Cebu Lions and the Rugby World Cup in 2019. He does a lot. He's putting us to shame.
I think I've seen him on J-Trip. Yeah, J-Trip Plan. Yeah.
There you go. Wow. Small world. His most recent release is Miles Away from Language, which was released in March 26, 2021, featuring Lisa Kay, and he's working on his first EP to be released hopefully at the end of this year. This interview is like chock full of fantastic stuff. I cannot wait. Japan Top 10. It's Edward, and I'm here today with Maidenfield. He is a producer, songwriter, remixer, musician, actor, MC, so many more things. We're going to get into it. Welcome, Maidenfield. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It's great to meet you.
Hey, lovely to meet you too. Thank you, a fellow musician in the house.
That's right, that's right.
As you can kind of hear, listeners, our lovely friend here has a bit of an accent. You're British and Spanish, but you ended up in Japan. Can you tell us a little about your journey, how you ended up here?
Yeah, so I am half Spanish, and I was raised in England. People in England would say, you're not quite English, are you, when they would speak to me. I don't really know why or what that was. I don't look Spanish, but I guess I appear Spanish sometimes. And when I go to Spain to see my family in Spain, they're like, oh, you're not Spanish enough. Mm-hmm. I've always sort of been in between. So cue go to Japan, I guess. It's just this bizarre thing that happened. But I've always been pretty good at languages. I spoke a few languages at university and at school. And I had an opportunity to just, on a whim, just give Japanese a go. And just giving Japanese a go, in inverted commas, changed my whole life.
Wow.
It was fantastic. I had a chance to go. I switched my major to Japanese. And literally, I had to go to Japan in 2 weeks for a year. And so I did that with basically no knowledge of anything, not really anything at all. So I think a lot of your viewers probably have a really keen interest in Japan, Japanese stuff, Japanese music already. I didn't particularly. It was interesting, but it wasn't like I was really, really into it. That came when I came to Japan. And the second I touched down on a floating airport in Kansai, got out in the humidity of Japanese summer, everything written in Japanese, everyone Japanese. I got on this tiny little bus, getting on the floating airport all the way into Osaka at the time, and suddenly just sky rises everywhere. And in between these two massive sky rises, a tiny little temple, tiny little shrine temple structure, and then a little rice field. It was overload in the most extraordinary way. And everything changed then.
That's fantastic. It's so not typical. Because yeah, you're right. Usually the typical story is, you're really interested in the culture, you go, maybe you do like a Japan, like a exchange program, or you do JET, and that's kind of it.
That's right.
But you just jumped in with both feet, and that's so, it's fearless. Let's talk a bit about your name. So where did the artist name Maidenfield, where did that come from?
So in England, my parents raised me in a place called Maidenhead, which is near Windsor Castle. Mm-hmm. Pretty amazing place to grow up and be raised, to be honest. It was just a lovely area, and I'm very grateful for that. And I went to a school called Oldfield. So I just took Maiden and Field, just changed the spelling a little bit, and just made Maidenfield, just kind of as a sort of a thank you to my parents for what they tried to do for me or for us. And I also wanted something that I felt might be sort of unique on the internet. There's no point in me being called something that's like, there's a million other versions. So it sounded and felt like it was unique. And also I didn't really want it to be like just my name, just in case in the future I wanted to combine with another producer or another singer or another, you know, CG artist, so we could like group together and make something. I wanted to keep that open. So I called myself Maidenfield. I actually have a reason for what it means as well. I have a sort of a theory about who we are and where we want to be. And so we're here in reality down here. And there's this vision of us up here above us that we aspire to be. That space in between the two is what I call the Maidenfield. And you have to get to this point by somehow exerting your energy, forcing it through to reach this like higher level of what of who you want to be and where you want to be. So that's the whole thing around Maidenfield.
Very aspirational, very too. Aspirational. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. People can really, I think your fans can really get into that as well. I think that's really great.
Thank you.
It's so positive. Yeah. And actually, speaking of the fact that you didn't want to have a name in case you did want to collaborate with someone else, you've actually done quite a lot of collaborations. So how are you able to cross the pond, so to speak, or I guess cross the sea, I suppose,
yeah,
from going into East into West? How did you make those connections?
I think whatever you want to do in your life, you are going to have to do it with people. You are going to have to connect. It doesn't matter what it is. You can be at home Instagramming about the food you make on the table. You are still going to be interacting with people somewhere along the way. And that is really, really important. So I came to Japan and I realized that if I'm going to be a musician and I want to be a musician, I'm going to do it in Japan. So how am I going to do that? What's the process going to be? I'm obviously not Japanese. I'm a foreigner. So that's that right there. But how am I going to make that into a really big advantage? Even if it's not a disadvantage, how am I going to make it a really big advantage? So I started to look at Japanese TV, and I, you know, there's a lot of music programs in Japan that are, you know, mainstays. They've been on TV for 30 years. And things like Music Station, for example. So I'd watch Music Station. I'm looking at, you know, Uta Hikaru, and she's got the back band behind her, and they're all foreign. You look at Kureki Mai, it's back band, it's all foreign. Misha, all foreign. And I'm looking at that going, that's great. But the more I look at it, I'm going, I could do that. I'd like to do that. How do I do that? And so I started thinking about it. That would be a great avenue in to try and get me from A to B to C. And that's basically how it was. All these things are connected through agencies. You join an agency, say, you know, I can play piano, I can play guitar, I can write songs. If something comes up, you know, let me know and I'll go and audition. And I was predominantly focused on anything to do with music. So through doing that and, you know, going to auditions and failing and trial and erroring for, you know, a long time, suddenly something came up. Now I can't remember what it was, the first thing I did. But one of those big ones was Leona Lewis. She was coming to Japan and they needed a guitarist to play a song, an acoustic guitar for one of her songs while she played her showcase live, her debut performance in Japan. So I was on stage with Leona playing live acoustic guitar. And I knew who she was because she was massive in the UK. She was brand new in Japan. So no one knew who she was, but she was on the big, you know, the big stations, the big shows. So I was in that whole entourage and that whole thing. And I'll tell you now, when you have an experience of the big TV, the big lights, the big stage, it is like an extraordinary rush, a hit to the heart. It's incredible. The all the people involved, the makeup and the lights and the camera, the whole thing, the level that they're at, they just switch on and go. It's unreal. And I got it done. And just as I was coming off stage, I actually got a call from the same agent, said, there's another thing for tomorrow, if you'd like to do it. I was like, yeah, do it, please. He's like, you know what? I think I'm going to say no, though, because I think you're not going to be, you're going to be too tired. You're going to be too shattered. I'm like, no, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. He's like, let's pass this one time. But it'll come again. Don't worry. It's not that big a thing. Let's just pass this one time. All right. And sure enough, the next day I was out. I was out until about midday. All I did was a 3-minute song with Leona Lewis, but my whole being was in that 3-minute moment to make sure I did not screw up a millisecond of it. And it took everything out of me. All of my energy for that day was completely spent in that moment. And it was really interesting to me. So then I've done it a few more times since then. You know, I got called up because I did a good job that one time. One thing leads to another. And so on and so on and so on. So that was actually playing music. on a TV show. The next thing was, you know, can you be in a music video? I think the next thing was probably Tommy February. Tommy Heavenly. That one was Tommy Heavenly.
Say, depends on which project.
Yes, that one was, I'm now remembering, it was Tommy Heavenly. So I was dressed up as Slash in the video.
Oh, yeah, there
I
you go.
I Kill My Heart era. So that was still close to multi-million dollar budget era for music videos. And so that, again, was like big time. And that was my first time to meet her. That was my first time to realize that I was chosen mainly because my name is James. And they wanted all the James's in the thing, which was funny in itself. It's cool. It's funny. But again, you have to do a good job. You have to perform. And that led to more things, many more things. It led to, can you write songs? Can you write lyrics? Could you help me with a top line? And so on and so on. So that Tommy project became Tommy February. It became The Brilliant Green. And then that's Sony. And then it was Warner. And so more things at Sony, more things at Warner, and so on and so on and so on. And that's how it built up. But through all of that, my intention was try and make my music at some point. So I'll give someone a demo of my stuff. So that's how it basically went. And just one thing led to another.
It's interesting to know that you got your start in the big system, basically, and worked your way up through that. And now you're out here releasing your own music. Now you're doing your own thing. Does it kind of feel like you're back at square one a little bit? Or do you feel like, I really know what I want now because I've worked with so many people and I feel like I've got all the right tools at my disposal?
That's a great question. I'd say a bit of both. I really wanted to taste the big, the bright lights, the big stage. I wanted to know what that was like. When you play with someone, when you have a chance to play with someone like Taylor Swift, before she even walks in the room, it's just the energy is different. It's just not the same as if I walk into the room. It's different. It's extraordinary. And to feel that is an amazing thing. And then to know that that's what you want for yourself is such a rush. It's like being at university and you're studying and you have a lecturer who's a star. Before the lecturer walks in the room, you're excited. And then he or she talks and you're like, oh my God, I know now what I want to do with my life. It is exactly the same thing. You need that sort of mentorship, that person above you, and in many cases, way above you, for you to reach for. It's the maiden field. You're aspiring to this level. So I always wanted it. I am so grateful I had a chance to do a few things like that. I'll tell you one story about Taylor Swift. When she came, if I may.
By all means.
I hadn't met her. I actually have, let me show you this. This isn't the guitar I had. It was a smaller one than this. But I played a guitar with the exact same words.
Ah, okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, podcasting is an audio medium, but I will read it. So it's, where is the glory? And sorry, I missed the second part.
Where is the glory in being somebody you don't want to be?
There you go.
So I have that written on my guitar, and for me, it's my favorite line. I still haven't released this song. I'm giving that to you for free. But it's a line that I really, really like, to the point where I put it on my, I put it on my clothes and I put it on my guitars. I had that guitar on stage. That's what I was going to play when I play with Taylor Swift. She walked in. She'd obviously just flown in. She was jet lagged. She was just unhappy. She was, she'd just been made up. So she looked great, but she was obviously not fully woken up. She just looked a bit miserable. And she walked onto the stage and just suddenly went, oh, sorry, guys. Sorry. Hello. How is everybody? I'm so glad you're here. Thank you. And she just switched into pro mode. I've got people on stage. I'm working with people. I've got to do this. And it was incredible. It was amazing. I loved that. And that sort of dropping your guard and just being nice with people, I think, is the right thing to do.
So do you have any kind of wild and crazy stories about your time in the industry or something that's happened and you're just like, I can't believe it?
Oh, good question. Yeah, I do. Okay, so I'm actually allowed to tell you this story because he himself said I could, which is really nice.
Okay.
I'm a massive fan of Komuro Tetsuya, who is a music producer here. There is no one in Japan who doesn't know who this guy is. He's like Michael Jackson. You say the name and people know who he is. He's produced Globe, Amuro Namie. He's famous for, in the 90s, having 5 songs in the chart, number 1 to number 5, and all of them were million sellers. The guy is extremely popular and very, very successful. I loved him in the Globe, Amuro Namie era. A Walk in the Park is by far one of my favorite songs in all of Japanese music. And my favorite song is Love Again by Globe. I simply adore that piece of music. I heard it once in karaoke. Someone was singing it in karaoke. I'm like, what is this song? I love this song. And I asked the guy, like, oh, this is a little bit few years ago now, but this is was a really popular song in Japan. You should check it out. So I did, and I couldn't believe how much I liked it, just from a karaoke track. Anyway, I wanted to work with this guy. It was one reason I stayed in Japan as long as I did. But nothing I did got me close to him. I don't know why, but nothing I did was remotely connected to his record company. And then this one day, I'm in a keyboard shop, a musical keyboard shop in Shibuya, of all places. And I just turn around, and he's there, buying a keyboard. I was like, wild. No, it's not him. And he kind of pushed his hair back. He had a hoodie on. He was just just brushing his hair behind his ears. And he has a tattoo on his wrist. And it's very prominent and clear. And he had it. So I'm like, okay, it's him. What am I going to do? So I went straight up to him and I just said, listen, I'm a massive fan and I want to write a song with you. Point blank.
Wow. And he's like, that's ballsy.
What am I going to do, right? It's like absolutely. John Lennon right there. For me, it was literally like John Lennon was in the room right there. My absolute hero. And he's like, who are you? I was like, no one, just no one. But I make music, you know, it's piano and club and female vocals. It's quite similar to what you do. I want to write a song with you. It's like, okay, well, you know, where are you from? I said, I'm from England. And he switches into English. Oh, England. Oh, I love England. Oh, it's a wonderful place. You know, I love football. And suddenly he's all happy and gregarious, which is great. And I actually happened to, you know, the TV show Prison Break, the Wentworth Miller. My song was tied up with Prison Break when it was airing in Japan. So it was playing at the same time as the TV show was. I said to him, do you have cable TV? And he said, yes. And, you know, do you watch so-and-so channel? He said, yes. Do you watch Prison Break? And he said, yes. And then he said, point blank, the name of my song, back to me. I didn't say anything.
No way.
I didn't prompt it. He just said it to me. I was like, yes, that's my song. And he goes, he sort of looks up and he goes, oh, that's a good track. That's a good song. I'm like, well, you're joking. I could not believe it. So then he says to the guy behind the counter, can you get me a piece of paper and a pen? I was like, oh my God, he's going to give me his details. And as he's talking to me, you know, he asks me a question while he's writing something. I'm just looking at him answering the question. And he gives me this piece of paper and it's his autograph. It's not his details. It's not his phone number.
No.
I was like, happy, crushed, you know, it's like, ah. So what am I going to do? I tore a piece of paper off. I said, this is my email address. Please feel free whenever you like to mail me. And then his manager's kind of encroaching. He's like, dude, who are you? It's time to go. I was like, yeah, absolutely understood. So I let it go. I was going crazy. Nothing for, you know, 3 months. And then suddenly, 3 months later, I have an email in my inbox. And it's from him. And he says, hi, it's TK. Call this number. So I called the number. This is like John Lennon calling you up saying, hey, let's make a song together for me. I called him up and he said, listen, I since we met, something about you, since we met, I've been talking to record companies and finding out about you. This is the point about doing things right and doing things for free and being good and connecting to people. I've talked to some record company people. They know who you are. And they said good things. Hyōban ga ii in Japanese. It kind of means your reputation is good. So now I want to meet you. Can you meet me tomorrow? I'm like, let me just check. Yep, I can meet you tomorrow. So I went and met him in his studio. And it's like you can imagine. It's wall-to-wall keyboards and, you know, entourage of 10 people. He's right in the corner. All people in front, you know, between me and him. I walk in and I gave him my demo on my little memory stick and with the pictures and everything of me. And they put the memory stick in the computer, pull up my picture, and all of them, all 11 people, like, zoom in on the picture. They look at me, they're focusing on the picture on the screen. And they all as one kind of go, oh, yeah, okay. They kind of nod in agreement at the photograph of me on the screen. It was really strange for me. And then they put the song on these massive speakers in the studio. And they're kind of vibing. It was pretty cool. And then we just started talking. And one by one, they just filed out the room. Just, you know, they're like, okay, these two are going to be okay. And by the end, it was just me and him talking. And it was around the time, you know, Avicii, you know, things were happening with Avicii. And we were talking about that kind of song and why he is and was so popular and successful. Actually, finally talking about titles, he has a thing about the way that Avicii chooses titles. He said, there's something in the way he chooses titles. Why did he choose this word? He's very clever like that. And I thought that was really clever. You know, Wake Me Up was the song that he was alluding, referencing. Mm-hmm. Why is Wake Me Up so cool for foreigners? I'm so interested by that. It's not such a difficult title, but it's obviously caught the world. And it was just very interesting, you know. So we were talking about that kind of stuff. And from there to where I am now, a few years later, I actually printed this out because I was so happy. I'm holding a board now, which is the lyric sheet from the CD, which has my name in the credits because I wrote songs with him.
Wow, what a dream come true that must be.
Wrote songs with him. And that for me is absolutely just the pinnacle. I've done some wonderful things with Japanese artists. I mean, Tommy, Brilliant Green, Gazette, TM Revolution, they are all awesome, formidable, wonderful people. But before I came to Japan, Komuro Tetsuya was it for me. It was absolutely it. And I'm super glad I was able to do that. So that's my funny story. I have another story actually connected to him if you want to hear it. And he also
let's do it.
He said this will be really good in interviews. So here I am saying it now.
Awesome.
He called me up to specifically work on... I hadn't worked with him yet. I'd met him a few times, but I hadn't been in the studio with him. And he called me up as I was in my studio. And he said, can you come over now? I want to run an idea by you. I said, sure. Can I, you know, give me, you know, an hour and I'll go. So I was like, yeah, okay. So I put the phone down in my studio. I was like, oh my God. And I ran into the shower to take a shower, right? And before I did that, I went into my toilet, which is a separate cubicle in Japan. The toilet's not in the same room as the bathroom. Typically, they're in a separate room. So I ran into the toilet, which is a small cubicle, and the door shut, and I heard a thud against my door. And I have a painting. It's like on the floor in the hallway of my former apartment, and it had fallen down completely flush against the door, and I was stuck. I knew what had happened the second it happened. I turned around. I couldn't get out of my my little cubicle bathroom. I was stuck.
Oh, and man!
Had I not had a girlfriend at the time, I wouldn't have got out of there. I was screaming in case someone could hear me. It's like a really nice, it was like a well-built apartment. It was not like an old rickety apartment. Help me! I was literally, I couldn't open the door. I couldn't force it off its hinges. Nothing. There was nothing I could do. I tried for about 50 minutes to just bend this door and pull it off its hinges. It just wasn't working. And all the time, I can hear my phone vibrating in, you know, he's calling me. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? I'm like, what am I going to do? So in the end, I just crumpled in a heap on the floor and just curled up. I could only lie down fetal position in my toilet and just try to go to sleep and wait for my girlfriend to come back, you know, 4 hours later in the evening. There was nothing I could do. And as I'm doing it, I don't know why I hadn't thought about it, because I was just so stressed. But I could see the painting. Oh, God. Yeah, there you are. And I just suddenly kind of felt around under the door, and I was able to move it, like inch it, nudge it slightly, really slowly. It took a while, but in the end, I did. I moved it out the way, stormed out of the toilet, ran to my phone, called Komuro Tetsuya and said, you'll never guess what happened. He's like, don't worry about it, just come quickly. So I did, got a taxi, went to him. I said, listen, you need to hear my story. So he sat down like this. He's kind of looking at me like this. I told him the story. You're not going to believe the story, but this is the story. He's like, well, now you've got a really good thick piece for the next time we do an interview together. So all good. Right, now let's talk about the project. I was like, oh my God. So that was the other thing I would say about my time in Japan and music.
I guess you learned your lesson. You're like, now I'm going to always hang up paintings.
Doors stay
time.
Open. Doors stay open from now on. Yeah.
So... before we jump into our first song, can you tell us a bit about Miles Away From Language featuring Lisa Kay?
I actually had the idea for the song before I met her. And then I met her and heard her voice. And I knew that that sort of kind of computery, sweet sounding voice, I thought would be really, really good for this song. So I expedited making the track. Basically, I had a phrase, Miles Away From Language was a phrase I really liked in my head. We're miles away from needing to talk about a situation. We're just beyond that. We're thinking with our hearts right now rather than our heads. And that was a phrase I just really liked. So I decided to stick with that. Now, we are not the enemy is the way it starts. I thought, oh, when that came out, just instantly, I thought, that's how I want to start the song. A cute voice saying, we're not the enemy. Don't be worried about it. I thought that was really nice. So that's what that song was. That's how that came about. Awesome. I just wanted to say something about being, we're so far away from needing to talk about this particular situation. You and me right now, we are fine. And that's what I wanted to say with the song.
There you go. So please enjoy Miles Away From Language featuring Lisa Kay.
We are not the enemy, be braver with your fantasy. This wave around my feet feels wonderful. Tonight I will fulfill the task, so softly speak, I hear you ask. How is the dream? The dream is beautiful. I'm not even trying to be what I'm not, it's worse than that, cause I'm just trying to be what I am. Through all the noise, just promise me you hear my voice, I promise you to keep you out of everything I can. Miles away from language, we're miles away from language. Tonight we are so far gone that we're out of sight, and I hope not ahead. Do all the talking tonight.
I actually want to jump back a little bit because you mentioned that you are working on a new score for a film.
Yes.
But you've already done a film score before,
right? I have, yes. I've actually done two. But unfortunately, again, pandemic, one hasn't been released. There you go.
Oh, what a shame. Well, I'm sure it might end up in other projects,
yes.
Right? I mean, that's the beauty of it all. Can you tell us a little bit about how you... Well, we already kind of know a bit about how you got involved in making those film scores because one thing leads to another. But what is the process for you when it comes to creating a film score?
Yes.
How does it work for you?
Can I just jump back a second just onto that point as well about
Absolutely.
How the film score came up? It's a brilliant story. We were on tour with Asian Kung Fu Generation and we were in South America in Brazil. And the electricity grid in Brazil is lower than it is in Japan. So you need to have a step-down transformer to convert all the electronics of all the amps that we took with us on tour to work in Brazil. And we asked the venue to make sure, you know, the promoter to make sure that they had them. They didn't when we got there. It meant we couldn't use any of the equipment. It was Sunday in a religious country. Everything was shut. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
So I ran outside, me and the manager, and the first person in line, there were already people lined up in the to go into the venue. First person in line, do you speak English? He's like, yes. Can you help us with a really, really big project? He's like, sure. We jump in the car. You need to go and help us find a step down transformer. Take us to like the Hilton Hotel, the Hyatt. Maybe they have Japanese guests there. They're used to it. Any way you can think of. And he said, well, there is one shop actually in like the like Japantown, which might be open. We went into the shop and there's a Japanese looking guy, but he was Brazilian, in fact. We started speaking to him in Japanese. He didn't understand a word. We said, do you have step down transformer? I said it in English. He's like, do you mean that? Turn around. And there was one. It was the equivalent of about $25 or something. It wasn't very much. So we just got off the plane. We only had Japanese yen. So we said, here's the equivalent in yen. Trust me, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Can you accept it? He's like, we doubled it, you know, $50. He's like, $300. This is way more than this is worth. Can we just take it? Okay. We legged it out of the venue, burned off of the venue, put it up, and it worked, and everything was fine. And the band didn't even know about it, didn't even hear about it. I said to him, thank you so much. You come and meet the band. You know, you've got exclusive, you know, chance to do whatever you want to do with us for the rest of the evening. So he was obviously really, really happy. I stayed in contact with him. And this one day, he mailed me up and said, I'm now living in Japan. I've moved to Japan. I'm working for a tech company. I'm doing coding. I said, dude, that is absolutely brilliant. So he's now comes to Asian Kung Fu Generation shows. You know, he's a friend now of the whole of the team. And then he called me up one day and said, I've got a friend who's making a film. He's been approved. He's got budget to make a movie. And he's looking for someone to do the soundtrack. You know, is there anyone you think could help us with that? So I forwarded that to my manager and we met the team and he talked away about what they were looking for. And I'm thinking in my head, this is actually me. This sounds like I should be doing it. And my manager said, this actually should be JJ. He's right there. He does exactly this. Listen to this song. And he played one of my tracks on his iPhone. And they liked it. And that's how that happened. So connecting dots to make that happen. So that was Startup Girls a couple of years ago, which was Kamishiraishi Mone was the main actress, who's now a star. She's a big star in Japan since that movie came out, which is great. I did the soundtrack for that, which was awesome. And then what I'm doing now is the same team. They remembered me. They called me up. They're like, next project, here it is. Would you like to do it? And this one is an anime. And I can't give away too much right now, but it basically involves the fact that I'm half Spanish and it's set in, you know, Japan, samurai era. And the whole combination of those things is exactly in my world, which is extraordinary. And they need a combination of rock tracks. They need a combination of like melodic bass, future bass tracks, just like Miles Away from Language. I need a combination of all of that with, you know, proper soundtracky, you know, orchestral type music. And I kind of add musical and visual elements of Japanese aesthetics in most of my stuff. Sometimes it's really overt and sometimes it's not. Like I'll use a shamisen really overtly or sometimes just like a layer. This will require that. So I've been learning how to use and record shamisen and taiko and shakuhachi and all these things. And now here it is in the forum to actually make it happen, which is amazing. So I'm really happy about this, but it's a lot of work. It's tons of work. It was actually 35 songs in April in 30 days that I had to smash out. It was a lot of work and we're still going. It's ongoing, but it's been amazing. Really, really good. So anyway, so how do you make the songs was your original question. Sorry to go back to that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you could even be like, what inspires you to really make those songs?
Yeah.
Because like, is it an idea or is it just come out of the thin air for you? Some people, like, for example, they're thinking about it in the shower and it just happens, or it's like mundane. We were talking a bit about that actually before we started recording.
That's right.
So yeah, I'm curious a little bit about that little process.
So when it's your own track, track for your own band, I think it's a different process. First of all, when it's for a soundtrack, there's a director of the movie, there's probably people even above him or her, and you have to know who it is who's signing off on what the music needs to be. And you have to talk to them. Hans Zimmer, in his masterclass, he actually says, go and find out who the decision maker is, have a really long conversation with that person, find out exactly what they want, and give it to them. And I think that's exactly right. They chose me because they wanted me and my sound. That's very true. But it's their movie. I have to give them what they are looking for. There's no point in me making a Maidenfield track if they don't want a Maidenfield track. They want a track that they're looking for that has my Maidenfield-ness in it. So that's, first of all, really, really important. So when I met them and they said, look, this track needs to be a rock track, this track needs to be a club track, and so on and so on, that was really, really good information for me. So they actually broke down the 35 songs and said pretty specifically what they're looking for. We want this one to be kind of Aerosmith-y. We want this one to be kind of... And then even within that, okay, are you talking 1970s Aerosmith? Or are you talking I Don't Want to Miss a Thing Aerosmith? And
exactly.
Then they knew what to say there, which is really good. Exactly. Big difference. So that was really excellent to hear that. And so I've been working on that. First of all, you hear the remit, which is the same as saying, I want to write a song called Miles Away from Language. Now, how am I going to do it? So that at that point, we're the same. And what I'll do is I'll leave my studio, no guitar, no keyboard. I'll just walk into a park and sit there and just think of things. I'll just try and conjure stuff up. Then I'll get out my phone into my memos, which has a bunch of little musical ideas I haven't used yet, things that have come into my head. And then voice memos is the same. And I'll see if anything jumps out, like that kind of fits the feeling or the one little lyric idea I had. And that's my start point. And sometimes a little motif will come out of that, which really hits me, especially a musical one. And I'll write it down. I won't play it yet. I'll just write it down. If by the time I've got home, I'm a big cycler. I cycle all over Tokyo. So I can cycle for an hour to get back home. If by the time I've got back home, it's still in my head, haven't had to open up in my voice memos to re-listen to it, that's enough for me to go, that's a hook for me that is worth me pushing with. And that's how I'll do it. That's basically the really simple way of how I come up with it.
Interesting. It's very organic for you, because some artists, they say that, oh, I write in my journal and like the lyric is what grabs me first. But for you, you're saying it's more of like a melody kind of situation. It's a feeling.
It usually is. Miles Away from Language, It started with the lyric. It started with that title. How am I going to write a song that fits around this title? Actually, the song was a different track. It was more like an EDM track originally that I made the demo. But then when I heard Lisa Kay's voice, I'm like, this is better fit in a different way. Excuse me. So I changed it. But I think I work more on a musical side than I do starting with like a lyric or a title. But it does happen. I mean, I have a list of titles that I haven't used yet. I have a list of lyrics I haven't used yet. And I have a list of song melodies I haven't used yet as well. It's funny though, because I actually have on my screen now, I know you can't see this guys right now, but I actually have this is a track I was making for the movie. And I decided I really wanted to have a piano riff. I don't know why I wanted to do that. And I wasn't in a feel at the time. And about the third thing I played, I forced myself to come up with like a Coldplay kind of a riff, you know, like a big motif. And in my head, I actually wanted a like more like The Verve, like some kind of like Bittersweet Symphony, something like that at the start. That's what I wanted to do. And I ended up not giving it to the movie, actually. It's now my song. But that just came up as an idea. So it's just a little piano line, and that just came out of nowhere and instantly hit me. And for the, you know, the next half day, it was in my head. I'm like, okay, that's enough for me to try and write something too. So what's the song going to be about? What's the idea? What's the main lyric? I'm still working on that, but the music is done. The music just poured out of me. I was really happy with that. And it's not a club track at all. I can make this into a remix, which I'm very aware of and I'm very happy about. But right now, I actually quite like the idea of making a kind of the Vervey type song that can also be future bass. So I'm thinking now about, you know, I definitely want it in Japanese. So do I want to find a Japanese lyricist? Who's it going to be? At the moment, I don't know if you know this, but all the singers on my stuff are either Japanese, half Japanese, or are living in Japan.
Yeah, actually, I was going to point that out. And also, all your lyrics are in English, too.
Yes.
So at the moment, that is an interesting marriage of that.
Correct.
Talk about that.
For both of them, yeah. For me to differentiate in Japan, if I have a Japanese singer in Japanese singing in Japanese, I maybe haven't differentiated. If she is singing in English, she has a chance to go, hey, look, this is an English track. I can be like Blackpink. I can be like BTS. I can sing and compete with them on the world stage. That's right. What I really like. That I like that drive and that wish to do it. So that was a conscious decision. And I'd like to go back and do Japanese versions, though, I must admit. But I'm not going to write Japanese lyrics. That's not my thing. That's definitely not my strong point. I have done it, but I don't feel comfortable. I personally don't feel comfortable writing lyrics in Japanese. I don't feel comfortable writing them in Spanish, and I'm half Spanish. I only feel comfortable being completely natively doing it in English, personally. Mm.
That's really interesting. Never Coming Down is another song we're going to be talking about featuring Kino. That came out at the beginning of the year. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely.
And,
sure.
Introduce it?
Yeah.
Go for it.
I really like how that came out. That was another song that sometimes songs take a long time and other times they don't. They just absolutely flow out. That one came out. Kino was here. Sorry. We were in a park and I was talking to her on an Instagram live. I just said to her, I have this idea. I've already written the lyrics to it and I think you'd fit it really well. Would you like to do it? She's like, sure, tell me it. So I started to sing it to her over the Instagram live. So yeah, I got it. I understand. This is good. This is cool. I said to her, do you want to come over like in the afternoon? She was actually going to go fly back to Canada for about 6 months, like later, I think in about 3 days after that. It was my only chance. But yeah, sure. Just give me like a couple of hours and I'll be over. So I said, okay. So she came over to my house literally 2 hours later, having heard the song once on that Instagram live. She came in and she had memorized the song. Lyrics, melody. It is just one chorus, but still, she knew every, like, in and out of the song. And I just wrote that. I just made a little piano bed and she sang it. And that was it. It was done. She flew back to Canada and I fleshed out the song.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And the thing that I really like about that song is there's no build-up, there's no rise. In club music, typically right now, you have the intro, and it kind of builds, and you feel the crescendo, and then the drop hits. This one, there's no crescendo. It's just piano lulling you along, and she sings, my only way to see you is to dream you, which I'm hoping is sort of dreamy and ethereal, and then suddenly you get the drop. There's no rise, there's no tension gripping you. It just suddenly hits. I really like that. I'm sure there's other songs that do that, but for me, in my world, it's unique. I'm really happy with that. So that's what it is.
There you go. So, ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy Never Coming Down featuring Kino, released in January 2021.
Something I could follow.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
It's great.
Thank you very much. I actually started this year. That was the first one. It was very intentionally the first song for this year, for January.
Mm, set the tone, I guess, eh?
That's right. And I began the year going, right, I'm going to release one song a month, at least.
Mm.
That was my mission. So I did January, did February, did March. I haven't managed to in April, but that's okay, because I'm trying to. And May something will come out, and June something will come out, and so on and so on. And also, admittedly, I've made 30 songs for the anime soundtrack. So while they haven't been released, I have made them.
Well, you've been very busy. So I think you're excused from not releasing a solo track just for this, just for those 30 songs alone.
Just
that's
for now.
Pretty impressive.
Can you let me go? Can you allow it?
Yeah, absolutely. You got my permission.
Thank you.
So actually, with those songs you're releasing, do you have an EP coming out soon? What's your plan for the rest of 2021?
Yes. Actually, my manager said to me, dude, it's about time you release an EP. Surely you've got enough material for it now. So I'm waiting for him to say what he wants to do with that and what the timing would be. I have probably two more songs with a social media influencer here, who I met on Instagram, Hase Miho, who did the I'm 2020 song recently with me. I have a new track I'm making with her. It's probably going to be her song, not my song, I think, which actually is a bit of an 80s track. We were talking about 80s. It's quite an 80s sounding song, all in Japanese. And that's going to come out soon. That's probably going to be her song, so not featured on my EP. But I actually have, I'm still thinking about what I want the title to be. I'm wrestling with that because I'd like it to be something I think that Japan can read and understand quickly. But I don't want it to be too simple, like Dream or, you know, River.
Yeah, a story.
Yeah, I think I want it to be a bit more than that, just a little bit more. Yeah. So I'm not quite sure what it's going to be yet. But for a long time now, in my head, I've had the phrase, you never know.
Mm.
And I quite like that. Anyone Japanese can say that and maybe understand what it means, especially if you give them a little bit of explanation. But I like the idea of you don't know where you're going or what might happen or what could happen. So just be ready. Be ready to pivot at any moment. Be flexible. Be Muhammad Ali. Be on your feet at all times. Be dancing.
Yep. Float like a butterfly. Sting like a bee.
That's right. And I quite like that phrase. At the moment, I'm veering towards calling it You Never Know. With the view to saying, just be ready. Just be ready to move. You know, something could happen, positive or negative. But I'm thinking more positive. I'm meaning you never know, so give it a go is the way I'm looking at it.
Ooh, good so rhyme there too. You never know, give it a go.
You never know, give it a go. So hopefully that will come soon. Yeah.
Yeah, good. So everyone look out for that.
Yes, it might please
be
do.
You
yes.
never know, but you never know
you never
what
know.
It might be called.
That's
so
right.
So be on the
That's
hunt
right.
for it. Mainfield, just to wrap up a little bit, if you could leave one message for your fans and our listeners, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a good question. Honestly, you never know. I would say that sincerely. I think there's a phrase in Japanese I sometimes use, which is, if you translate it into English, dreams are things that are supposed to come true. Yume wa jitsugen suru mono. Dreams are something that you want to have come true. And I think if you have that in your, as like a mantra, that there's always hope. You never know what's going to come next, what's around the corner. You just
Fantastic.
Don't know.
Fantastic. No, you don't. Honestly, life is crazy and anything could happen at any moment. So be ready. And where can people find you on social media, on your websites?
Please, first of all, go to Spotify. Check me out on Spotify. Maidenfield, MAYDENFIELD, Maidenfield. And all my Instagram, you know, YouTube, all the socials are at Maidenfield. Please go there and check it out. You're very welcome.
Awesome. Well, Mainfield, thank you so much for taking time with us today to sit down, have this wonderful, wide-ranging conversation. It was a real pleasure. Thank you
so much. Great to meet everyone, and I hope you have a really good week, really good month, really good year.
Awesome. And we'd love to have you back at some time
when
the EP gets released.
That'd be great. Come back into my studio. Let's go through like songs, how we make songs, how we do songs. That'd be great.
I would love that.
And in fact, for the movie, when the songs are all released and everything, we can go through it. That'd be great.
I would think that. Oh my gosh, what a great idea! I hope you're listening, my fellow teammates at J Top Dead.
It's what I'm so sorry I can't say right now, But when I joined the projects, I didn't think it was a big movie. It was an anime movie, and I was thrilled. And the story's a little bit close to my being half Spanish and just I'm in Japan. It was a nice combination of those two things. It's turned out it's quite a bit bigger than I realized, and it's major backing, major record company. So there are going to be some pretty big names attached to it, which I think will be exciting for your viewers and your listeners going
Very
forward.
Very cool.
Yeah.
There you go. So yeah, you'll have something to look out for, and hopefully it will come out soon and we can talk about it and we can have you back soon to find out all the details, maybe a little backstage inside dirt.
Let's do that. That'd be awesome.
Awesome. Well, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Japan Top
10. Ah, what a dream. What a treat. It was such a delight to talk with Maidenfield. And I learned, I laughed, I loved, cried. The time flew by, honestly. I'm sure the same can be said for you, Dean, considering you have 2 hours of footage to edit. So why don't you talk about it? Get into it.
Okay. So I interviewed Grizzly on the Planet, which is a rock duo which was formed in 2011 in Tokyo. The members are Tokomare O, who is on vocals, guitar, and synthesizer, and Numeron, whose real name is Manami Takahashi. I don't actually know what Tokomare's real name is.
Ooh, Sitain Mister.
Yes. So Numeron is on vocals and drums. Their influences are alternative rock, folk, rap, ambient, and pop. They performed at Rock in Japan Festival in 2017 with 125,000 attendees, and they regularly perform at popular live houses around Tokyo. They recently collaborated with the German record label Get Your Genki that compiles indie music from Japan. The last act that I interviewed in our last indie artist interview were also on a Get Your Genki compilation. So it sounds like something that, you know, if you're interested in indie Japanese indie music, it could be something that you would be worth checking out. I actually follow them on Twitter and they do post a lot of interesting music.
There you go. Shout out Get Your Genki. Yeah.
Yes. So this is another Get Your Genki act. Last year, they were releasing one single per month. And then that obviously was postponed due to the COVID-19 crisis. Their first full-length album, Sunny Mart, from 2018, and over a dozen singles are available on many different music platforms, including iTunes, Amazon, and Spotify. And without further ado, let's go into the interview. I hope you enjoy it. Today, I have the great pleasure of meeting with Tokomare from Grizzly on the Planet. Thank you very much
for taking
your time. Yeah. I might get straight into the questions then. What or who inspired you to start making music?
There are so many influences for me. However, the most important band or artists used to Coldplay and Radiohead, yeah, they are artists or bands from Northern Europe or British. I adore them so much, especially Coldplay and U2 terrifically impacted on my music or my composition.
They're all British or Northern European. So your preference is for European music rather than North American music.
Exactly.
With regards to the band, Grizzly on the Planet, you're a two-piece band.
Yes.
How did you meet?
On the internet.
You actually met on the internet? Wow, so you didn't know each other before that?
Yes.
Did you advertise for a band member or how?
Yes. I accidentally saw her performance on the internet. She has a unique tendency to play the drums, even though she is still young. She is younger than me, 4 years or 5 years. Her style is so old school. I was very fascinated. Why does she play the drum in such an old style? And it has kind of the old British music style. I thought I need her drum playing style. So I advertised to her that please come in.
Right. Were you originally looking to just have a two-piece band? You and drums?
Yes. That was influenced like White Stripes, Royal Blood. Yeah. And Black Keys and No Age. No Age and Japan Droids. Even the Japan Doors is American garage rock band. When I was college student, I read Metropolitan, that's a free paper in Japan, and Japan Doors is kept featured on that magazine, and that was beginning of my ambition for to this band.
I agree with you about your drummer's playing style.
Yeah,
I was listening to your music early, and there's very much a classic British feel.
Yeah, classic.
And obviously there are the comparisons to White Stripes and Royal Blood, but your musical style is very different. For me, just listening to it, the only thing that I could find similar is that you're a two-piece band with guitar and drums, but everything else is different.
Yes. If I compose or track the same style with White Stripes or things of that nature, it's not interesting. I know I'm Japanese, no matter how I try to be a foreign musician, foreign composer, I know I won't be. So I won't be unique or peculiar, singular all over the world. So that's very controversial, but I won't be like White Stripes or Blood, but simultaneously, I don't want to be like them. So I always try to be peculiar or a unique style.
You definitely have that.
Yeah.
I've very much been enjoying listening to your songs. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
The first thing that I thought of when I saw your band on the internet, Grizzly on the Planet. Where does the name come from?
To be honest, for no special reason.
Okay.
If you pronounce the tongue, like a three lines, is very easy to pronounce. I heard from Yasushi Akimoto. Yasushi Akimoto is a very famous producer in Japan, like a founder of AKB48. And he was graduated from Tokyo University. And he said three-point pom-pom-pom is very easy to pronounce. And people have tendency to say or pronounce tongue, like a very Valentine's Day kids. For example, it has changed pronunciation. It can be very popular music. Valentine's Day kids. His song has a similar tendency in AKB48 or any other kind of music. Yes, he always comply with that rule.
Right.
So I think like Laruku and Ciel, Bump of Ticking, as the Encamp generation, they have similar rule. And I think, you know, I heard three trans rule. Can I be famous? animal.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So it was more the sound, the Grizzly on the Planet.
Yes.
Right.
It came up on my head.
Nice. That's got me thinking too. Is there anyone else involved in writing, recording, or producing your songs?
I always ask my engineer, his name is Ichi Minamoto, and one cameraman, one art director, three other persons in my team.
So you have like a production team that you...
Yes. I'm in charge of playing the music. However, I want to be like a team level, like a performing team.
Right, so everything is done by the team.
Yes.
You write and perform the music, but you have someone else who does the artwork and someone else who does the engineering and... What do you enjoy the most when you are creating music?
This is a very difficult question. So I enjoy myself with creation or composition. However, the most interesting opportunity is when someone say to me, your composition is very exciting. Until that time, to be honest, I don't enjoy myself so much. I don't feel it's real. This cannot be seen with my eyes, but the people's attention or reaction is seenable. So it stipulates my feelings or imagination, and I make sure my composition can be source to livelihood. Yeah, the timing is very exciting and rewarding.
The thing you enjoy most is the reaction from the people.
Yeah, yes.
That's why we do it, isn't it? That's
yes.
We want to get some kind of reaction from
yes.
Whether it's other people in the band or audience or that's the fruit from the tree.
yes.
Do you have any moments in your music career that really shaped you as an artist?
My career started from when I was 15 years old. Until then, I didn't do anything. Indeed, I didn't make effort to study hard or do something for my future. However, at the first time when I played the guitar, I truly felt I do for myself what I want to do for the first time. That's like a thunder. Down my spine, yeah.
Yes. Oh. Like you were struck by lightning.
Like AC/DC Thunderstruck.
Right.
That's it. That's time, the most unforgettable time, yeah.
Mm. Something hit you. You were playing and something hit you and you realized,
this
is what I want to do.
Like a mountaintop. Oh, that is what I want to do forever. Yeah.
We're going to change the subject slightly. What genres or songs have you been listening to recently?
Chage and Asuka.
Oh, yes.
Japanese music.
Yeah. I love Chage and Asuka. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've recently listened to their music and especially Asuka's singing is terrific. It's beyond my imagination always. I think I'm the top of Japanese vocalist.
Yes, definitely one of them.
What do surprise to me that he composed almost every song in Chage and Asuka. He has good composing talent. Magnificent. Crazy.
I lived in Japan in the 1990s and Chage and Asuka were of course very popular then, and hadn't heard them for a very long time, but just a few weeks ago I was listening to them for another episode of this podcast because I was putting one together, and so it's a very strange coincidence that you should mention Chage and Asuka, because I was just listening to them recently after maybe 25 years. So Asuka in particular is amazing. Continuing on from that previous question, I think you've mentioned some of your influences. You mentioned Coldplay, U2, Radiohead. What other artists inspired you to make music?
Lara Croncia did Resurrection when I was 13 years old as they released Ready Steady Go and Invitation to Freedom, G.U.N. Shota in Japanese. At that time, I didn't listen to music inspired by foreign countries' music. I listened to Japanese kayokyoku is a melodic band like a Bump of the Skin. However, La Concert is inspired by foreign music. I think they are inspired by U2, Slayer, King Crimson. Ken's guitar playing is similar to edges of U2, how to use delay and cutting skills or chord progression. How he feels chords is very interesting to me. So they'll give me motivation.
Right.
In simple words, motivation. Yes.
Everyone has an artist that they turn to for motivation.
Yes.
Can you name one of your favorite albums that you could listen to on repeat?
A difficult question, but maybe Joshua Tree by U2.
Oh, Joshua Tree.
U2's ambition to make new music combined with the skill and experience of Brian Eno. It's a masterpiece in rock history. I think I went to U2's concert in Japan maybe 2 years ago, and it is the Joshua Tree tour. Of course, I've listened to Joshua Tree for 10 more years. However, concert is very fantastic. Once I read Ono's discography, he says he is very envious of John Lennon, Paul McCartney, and Live Beatles. He said, we won't catch up with them. However, he said, U2 has gravity that the Beatles doesn't have. Once I went to U2's concert, I recognized it. it. Jude has gravity. The first song of the show, Sunday Blood Sunday, that is started from drums. The first sound of drumming cymbal, bam! From the beginning, atmosphere has changed abruptly. Bono wasn't singing, Ed wasn't playing the guitar, Adam wasn't playing the bass.
Yeah.
Just one cymbal.
That is an amazing song. I think that's one of the first U2 songs that I heard when it first came out. I got goosebumps just thinking about it. Yeah.
Bono said gravity, and that is the reality of gravity. That is the real gravity. Yeah. Other albums of them has similar gravity, but Joshua Tree has the most gravity, I think.
It is a classic album, and it was a pivotal album for U2 as well, because their sound after that and their style changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to go to a song, and we're going to play your song Stay from 2018.
Okay.
Can you tell us about that?
Originally, utilizing social network service all over the world, it have a good aspect like a conflict in Myanmar, maybe 20 years or 30 years ago in Myanmar, every information was operated by a military government. Yeah. However, in this case, every people has social network service and spread real situation of Myanmar all over the world. That is a good aspect of social network service. However, it has bad aspect, like everyone can convey what they want to say. It's evil and it can be happening all over the world. And suicide triggered by social network service speaking evil or by someone.
Yes.
Yeah. It's some people said that everybody has a connection to each other or for social network service, but I don't think so. Everybody is at a loss. Which way we should go? Nobody can see future. But I want to tell them you're perfect as you are.
As you are,
Yeah, if somebody said to them, you must change yourself.
Mm.
But I don't think so. Like Lady Gaga sang, LGBT is not problem. The skin color is not problem. Which religion they are in, it's not problem.
Yeah.
Everybody should be themselves. I want to say stay as you are. The most important message of Stay is that.
Thank you. Now we're going to listen to Stay from 2018.
When I fix this mistake, must have left, love so no stay, and be a heavy collect, put it pretty like same. Oh, yeah, come, ready to roll, ready to roll, ready to roll out there. Oh, yeah. That's cause you're not awake with fucking intent, hit out fully behind people with, they tend to say, everything's a state, you must follow me. Their fool is a manly, but just fuck, but no truth, they're talking about. Just fuck, but no truth, they're talking about. Just fuck, but no truth, they're talking about. Just fuck, but choose the truth, so stay, stay, stay.
Stay, stay, stay.
That was Stay from Grizzly on the Planet from 2018. This next question is actually four questions.
Okay.
What was your first gig like? When and where was your first performance? How did you feel? And what do you remember?
I tried to forget it, but I'm not ever to. When I was 15 years old, I was a junior high school student. For my graduation ceremony, I played Samsung Smoke on the Water. Oh. So easy to play. So yeah. I chose it. And so March 9th, 3月9日 by Remy Lumen, which is Japanese pop band. And Niji by Masaharu Fukuyama. But it was terrible. I'm not good at playing the guitar, of course, not good at singing at that time. Yeah, it was terrible. If I can forget it, I want to do. And if I'm able to erase that memory from the audience, I want to do. Terrific.
I have a similar memory. I know how you feel. But that's how musicians become better. Yeah, they start off really bad.
Yes.
They have a bad experience and then they say, I don't want that to ever happen again. So they work really hard to become better.
So every year I welcome to March 9th, I correct it and post-traumatic. Oh, that day. Come again. I said every year. Yeah.
Wow. On the other hand, what was your favorite or your best performance up until now?
Last year, Grizzly on the Planet had a one-man gig. Almost all songs listener like and the band member are like performing in that show. I think it was the best gig I've experienced. All strong songs and strong performance and strong listeners, strong audience. It was perfect. And the most best thing about that gig was we performed new songs. Of course, not all bands, but almost bands makes set list by their best song, but we put new songs into it. That was very creative. I satisfied myself that I'd be able to compose new songs, create new play style. That's very good in experience.
You perform mainly around Tokyo.
Yeah.
What is your favorite live house?
Shinjuku Mars. This place has very higher ceiling. It has two floors. It's very rare case in Tokyo because Tokyo doesn't have so vast space. Yeah, second floor is very rare case. So I feel kind of I could become like Asuka. Like, oh, can you see second floor? Like Asuka, yeah. Very, very interesting, very funny.
How are you coping with the changes that have happened in 2020 and 2021?
Yeah. To be honest, it's sorry to say that I'm not be able to do activity as before. However, I listen to more songs than before because I stayed at my home and I can listen to music almost every hour. So there is the most biggest change in 2020 for me. And until now, I have not released new songs. However, I've composed so many songs for next release. Those songs were affected musically and psychically by every aspect. Style and the tendency has been changed a little bit.
Right.
However, the core of my composition has not been changed at all from March 11th, earthquake. Of course, the world has changed and the attitude of people has greatly changed. However, what we must do is not being changed at all, like compete with conflict, compete with tragedy. We must have belief in our souls and make better change, better world for tomorrow. Yeah. I'm kind of Mike Jackson.
I'm very pleased to hear that you've been creative during this time, because I know so many musicians, myself included, this has been so uninspiring for me since last year. And a lot of my musician friends also, they just don't feel creative at all. So it's always inspiring for me to hear that other people have been inspired. We're coming to the close of the interview now, but if you could leave one message for your fans and your listeners, what would it be?
We now face very difficult situation. Misery has it for now. However, we definitely compete with this situation and take one more step for the future. So I want to say we're not alone, and just stay as you are. All you have to do is to not to relinquish your life. I hope they are fine and still continue to live.
That's a very nice, very, very deep message. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so where can people find you and your music online?
We posted some music videos on YouTube and iTunes and Spotify, Google Play.
And you have an Instagram?
Instagram. I think so.
But oh, right. Okay.
to be honest, I'm not in charge of management.
Oh, okay.
to be honest, I'm not in charge of any kind of social network service.
Mailing. Before we finish, we're going to go to one more song. We're going to listen to Sunny Mart.
Oh, yeah.
From 2018. What could you tell us about this song?
I want to compose songs to build connection, for connection to inside and outside. And the lyrics mean it asks myself, like in Japanese, Jimon Jito.
Ask yourself,
ask yourself. The song is about regret, right. About what you couldn't do when someone was alive, but someone was with you. However, it's not the end of your life and someone's life, because someone still will keep on living in yourself. And after your life will be end, I think something thinks of that. The second things of that nature will be there. Actually, I don't know what will be waiting for myself, me or them, everybody. Because I have not experienced this. But I think there is hope, reunion beyond what you have lost or they have lost, what we have lost. I don't want my listener to relinquish your life. Still keep on believing something you loved, you had, you lost, and you must stay as yourself and keep on living.
So this is very much the theme of all of your music, really, isn't it?
Exactly.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So we're going to listen now to Sunny Mart from 2018. Thank you very much for your time. It's been a pleasure to meet with you. We've talked for nearly 2 hours, so it's been amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dieter.
Okay, so that was Sunny Mart, the title track from the album Sunny Mart by Grizzly on the Planet. He's a really deep guy. Mm. You know, their music is kind of pop music, but it comes from a very deep place. And his answers to his questions were very well, you know, very well thought out and very well expressed. You know, he said to me that his English wasn't that good and to prepare to translate for him, but I didn't have any problems at all. And he did really, it was a great interview. Mm,
that's great. Actually, it's funny that you say the idea that it's really about the message and the lyrics of the song now, as opposed to maybe like a more superficial, well, pop usually is superficial, but like it used to be a little bit more about that and more of like a surface level kind of, you know, platitude. But now that we're really getting to the nitty gritty of it all, I feel like maybe COVID had something to do with that a little bit, or the stay at home, #stay at home, Japan, and everywhere else. I feel like that might have something to do with it. People now are really hungering and thirsting for like more substance in their lyrics and their music, which is great.
Yeah, I think that music goes around in circles as well. You know, if you think back to, say, the protest music of the 1960s, mm-hmm. and then you kind of get into, you know, and then you get into kind of superficial pop in the 80s.
And
then it just goes round and round. It goes, you know, deep surface, deep surface, I think. But
yeah, that's exactly what I talked about in my interview with Maidenfield. So you guys, hopefully you're paying attention because we're circling back. Because we talked about exactly that. It's so funny. There you go. Great minds think alike.
Indeed.
Listeners, listen up. If you enjoyed this episode, consider being a Patreon donor at jtop10.jp/club. And starting at $1 a month, you can support our podcast. And you get this episode and all other episodes ad and announcement free. Very much worth it. So go check it out.
Good deal.
Are you planning your next trip to Japan and are worried about making a cultural faux pas? Join Andy and Haru next week to learn all about Japanese etiquette and taboos so that you will be ready. Mm. Speaking of, Dean, do you have a cultural faux pas that you regretfully committed?
I made a faux pas pretty much the minute I arrived in Japan the first time. I was an exchange student and I was due to stay with a host family, and they came to the airport to meet me, and they took me back to their house, and they opened up the door, and they, you know, ushered me in, said dozo, they let me go in first, and I walked in into the house with my shoes on.
Mm. Oh no!
So basically, my year stay as a student in Japan started off with a faux pas.
Oh, but they must have been so nice about it, and they must have been like, oh yeah, Dean.
It could only get better from there.
And it did, right? Did you have a great exchange?
It did. It was great. I had a great time. I went back again and again and again. Yeah.
And every time you look down at your feet and you see a house slipper, you're reminded of that time.
Yes. Yes. In fact, I take off my shoes in my house now so that I don't forget when I go to Japan.
Interesting. Oh, so you were a house on your feet?
Yeah.
No, shoes on your feet kind of house?
Yeah. I guess a lot of Australian houses are like that, I guess. Yeah. Mm,
interesting. Our house has always been like that, so I'm used to it. But faux pas-wise, for me, one of the biggest ones when I got to Japan was just making sure I was walking on the correct side of the sidewalk, because it's the opposite of where we are in Canada. So I believe, is it you walk on the left in Japan?
Yes, that's right.
So I was, and over here we usually walk on the right to pass originally, and then we pass each other however we do. So that was something that took me a bit of time to get used to, that's for sure.
Do you know why they walk on the left-hand side?
To get to the other side? I could think of a good joke. I'm like, why? Why is that?
I don't want to steal Andy and Haru's thunder, because they might say this. But the reason that in Japan that people walk on the left-hand side and they drive on the left-hand side is because in the back in the days when they wore samurai swords, if they walked on the right-hand side, their swords would clash with the people walking towards them.
Cool.
Yeah. So there you go. That's why.
The more you know, Gomen, Andy, and Haru-san, if you are going to talk about it, but, you know, what's wrong with hearing a factoid again? That's actually really fascinating.
Exactly.
And actually, it's not the only thing that gets carried over from ancient times either. I mean, they still have the no dancing law, which is something that threw me for a loop when I was over in Japan 2014, which feels like an eon ago. But you can't dance
inside a club, which is
really,
yeah, it's like Footloose.
Oh wow.
If you see the popular film Footloose or its remake featuring Zac Efron, which anyway, we don't get into that. It's not that kind of podcast. But but yeah, you can't dance in public. It's like a thing.
Oh, wow.
So if it's changed, reach out to us on our social medias and let us know. Tell me how wrong I am, please. I would love to know if we can finally dance. That would be great. We've come to the end. Parting is such sweet sorrow. Thank you so much for listening to our episode. I hope you guys learned something about our new artist, Maidenfield, and Grizzly on the Planet. I want to thank Dean. Thank you so much for coming out and taking time to talk with me and interview your fantastic artist.
And thank you, Edward.
You are most welcome. It was a pleasure, as always. Once again, I'm your host, Edward.
And I'm Dean.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you
next time.
Jane.
Jane. Bye.
Japan Top 10. Japanese music podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.